Hey, my name is Dune, and this is the maiden voyage of my new podcast entitled Dune Reads Goosebumps. This isn't so much of a normal podcast as it is me, Dune, reading Goosebumps. Anyway, starting it off with the first Goosebumps book entitled Welcome to Deadhouse by Real Life Stein. Let's get spooky. Chapter 1. Josh and I hated our new house. Sure, it was big. It looked like a mansion compared to our old house. It was a tall red brick house with a sloping black roof and rows of windows framed by black shutters. It's so dark, I thought, studying it from the street. The whole house was covered in darkness, as if it were hiding in the shadows of the gnarled old trees that bent over it. It was the middle of July, but dead brown leaves blanketed the front yard. Our sneakers crunched over them as we trudged up the gravel driveway. Tall weeds poked up everywhere through the dead leaves. Thick clumps of weeds had completely overgrown an old flower bed beside the front porch. This house is creepy, I thought unhappily. Josh must have been thinking the same thing. Looking up at the old house, we both groaned loudly. Mr. Dawes, the friendly young man from the local real estate office, stopped near the front walk and turned around. "Everything okay?" he asked, staring first at Josh, then at me, with his crinkly blue eyes. "Josh and Amanda aren't happy about moving," Dad explained, tucking his shirt tail in. Dad is a little overweight, and his shirt always seems to be coming untucked. "It's hard for the kids," my mother added, smiling at Mr. Dawes, her hand shoved into her jeans pocket as she continued up the front door. "You know, leaving all their friends behind, moving to a strange new place."
"Strange is right," Josh said, shaking his head.
"This house is gross," Mr. Dawes chuckled. "It's an old house, that's for sure," he said, patting Josh on the shoulder.
"It just needs some work, Josh," Dad said, smiling at Mr. Dawes. "No one has lived in it for a while, so it'll take some fixing up."
"Look how big it is," Mom added, smoothing back her straight black hair and smiling at Josh. "We'll have room for a den, and maybe a rec room, too. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Amanda?" I shrugged. A cold breeze made me shiver. It was actually a beautiful, hot summer day, but the closer we got to the house, the colder I felt. I guess it was because of all the tall, old trees. I was wearing white tennis shorts and a sleeveless blue t-shirt. It had been hot in the car, but now I was freezing. Maybe it'll be warmer in the house, I thought.
"How old are they?" Mr. Dawes asked Mom, stepping onto the front porch.
"Amanda is 12, Mom answered, and Josh turned 11 last month. "They look so much alike," Mr. Dawes told Mom. I couldn't decide if that was a compliment or not. I guess it's true. Josh and I are both tall and thin and have curly brown hair like Dad's and dark brown eyes. Everyone says we have serious faces. "I really want to go home," Josh said, his voice cracking. "I hate this place. My brother is the most impatient kid in the world, and when he wakes up his mind about something, that's it. He's a little spoiled. At least, I think so. Whenever he makes a big fuss about something, he usually gets his way. We may look alike, but we're not really that similar. I'm a lot more patient than Josh is. A lot more sensible. Probably because I'm older, and because I'm a girl."
I'm not really a girl. I'm doing... okay.
Josh had hold of Dad's hand and was trying to pull him back to the car.
"Let's go. Come on, Dad. Let's go."
I knew this one time Josh wouldn't get his way. We were moving to this house, no doubt about it. After all, the house was absolutely free. A great uncle of Dad's, a man we didn't even know, had died and left the house to Dad in his will. I'll never forget the look on Dad's face when he got the letter from the lawyer. He let out a loud whoop and began dancing around the living room. Josh and I thought he'd flipped or something. "My great uncle Charles has left us his house in his will," Dad explained, reading and rereading the letter. "It's in a town called Dark Falls."
"Huh?" Josh and I cried. "Where's Dark Falls?"
Dad shrugged. "I don't remember your Uncle Charles," Mom said, moving behind Dad to read the letter over his shoulder.
"Neither do I," admitted Dad.
"But he must have been a great guy. Wow, this sounds like an incredible house."
He grabbed Mom's hand and began dancing happily with her across the living room. Dad sure was excited. He'd been looking for an excuse to quit his boring office job and devote all of his time to his writing career. The house, absolutely free, would be just the excuse he needed. And now, a week later, here we were in Dark Falls, a 4-hour drive from our home, seeing our new house for the first time. We hadn't even gone inside, and Josh was trying to drag Dad back to the car. "Josh, stop pulling me!" Dad snapped impatiently, trying to tug his hand out of Josh's grasp. Dad glanced helplessly at Mr. Dawes. I could see that he was embarrassed by how Josh was carrying on. I decided maybe I could help. "Let's go, Josh," I said quietly, grabbing Josh by the shoulder. "We promised we'd give Dark Falls a chance, remember?" "I already gave it a chance," Josh whined like a little bitch, not letting go of Dad's hand. "This house is old and ugly, and I hate it." "You haven't even gone inside," Dad said angrily. "Yes, let's go in," Mr. Dawes urged, staring at Josh. "I'm staying outside," Josh insisted. He can be really stubborn sometimes. I felt just as unhappy as Josh, looking at this dark old house. But I'd never carry on the way Josh was. "Josh, don't you want to pick out your own room?" Mom asked. "No," Josh muttered. He and I both glanced up to the second floor. There were two large bay windows side by side up there. They looked like two dark eyes staring back at us. "How long have you lived in your present house?" Mr. Dawes asked Dad. Dad had to think for a second. "About 14 years," he answered. "The kids have lived there for their whole lives." "Moving is always hard," Mr. Dawes said sympathetically, turning his gaze on me. "You know, Amanda, I moved here to Dark Falls just a few months ago. I didn't like it much either, at first, but now I wouldn't live anywhere else." He winked at me. He had a cute dimple on his chin when he smiled. "Let's go inside. It's really quite nice. You'll be surprised." All of us followed Mr. Dawes, except Josh. "Are there other kids on this block?" Josh demanded. He made it sound like a challenge, then a question. Mr. Dawes nodded. "The school's just 2 blocks away," he said, pointing up the street. "See," Mom quickly cut in, "a short walk to school. No more long bus rides every morning." "I liked the bus," Josh insisted. His mind was made up. He wasn't going to give my parents a break, even though we both promised to be open-minded about this move. I don't know what Josh thought he had to gain by being such a pain. I mean, Dad already had plenty to worry about. For one thing, he hadn't been able to sell our old house yet. I didn't like the idea of moving, but I knew that inheriting this big house was a great opportunity for us. We were so cramped in our little house, and once Dad managed to sell the old place, we wouldn't have to worry at all about money anymore. Josh should at least give it a chance. That's what I thought. Suddenly, from our car at the foot of the driveway, we heard Petey barking and howling and making a fuss. Petey is our dog, a white, curly-haired terrier, cute as a button, and usually well-behaved. He never minded being left in the car, but now he was yowling and yapping at full volume and scratching at the car window, desperate to get out. "Petey, quiet, quiet," I shouted. Petey usually listened to me, but not this time. "I'm going to let him out," Josh declared, and took off down the driveway towards the car. "No, wait," Dad called, but I don't think Josh could hear him over Petey's wails. "Might as well let the dog explore," Mr. Dawes said. "It's going to be his house, too." A few seconds later, Petey came charging across the lawn. He kicked up brown leaves, yipping excitedly as he ran up to us. He jumped on all of us as if he hadn't seen us in weeks, and then, to our surprise, he started growling maniacally and barking at Mr. Dawes. "Petey, stop," Mom yelled. "He's never done this," Dad said apologetically. "Really, he's usually very friendly." "He probably smells something on me. Another dog, maybe," Mr. Dawes said, loosening his striped tie, looking warily at our growling dog. Finally, Josh grabbed Petey around the middle and lifted him away from Mr. Dawes. "Stop it, Petey," Josh scolded, holding the dog up close to his face so that they were nose to nose. "Mr. Dawes is our friend." Petey whimpered and licked Josh's face. After a short while, Josh set him back down on the ground. Petey looked up at Mr. Dawes, then at me, then decided to go sniffing around the yard, letting his nose lead the way. "Let's go inside," Mr. Dawes urged, moving a hand through his short, blonde hair. He unlocked the front door and pushed it open. Mr. Dawes held the screen door open for us. I started to follow my parents into the house. "I'll stay out here with Petey," Josh insisted from the walk. Dad started to protest, but changed his mind. "Okay, fine," he said, sighing and shaking his head. "I'm not going to argue with you. Don't come in. You can live outside if you want." He sounded really exasperated. "I want to stay with Petey," Josh said again, watching Petey nose his way through the dead flower bed. Mr. Dawes followed us into the hallway, gently closing the screen door behind him, giving Josh a final glance. "He'll be fine," he said softly, smiling at Mom. "He can be stubborn sometimes," Mom said apologetically. She peeked into the living room. "I'm really sorry about Petey. I don't know what got into that dog." "No problem. Let's start in the living room," Mr. Dawes said, leading the way. "I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by how spacious it is. Of course, it needs work." He took us on a tour of every room in the house. I was beginning to get excited. The house was really kind of neat. There were so many rooms and so many closets. And my room was huge and had its own bathroom and an old-fashioned window seat where I could sit at the window and look down at the street. I wish Josh had come inside with us. If he could see how great the house was inside, I knew he'd start to cheer up. I couldn't believe how many rooms there were. Even a finished attic filled with old furniture and stacks of old, mysterious cartons we could explore. We must have been inside for at least half an hour. I didn't really keep track of time. I think all three of us were feeling cheered up. "Well, I think I've shown you everything," Mr. Dawes said, glancing at his watch. He led the way to the front door. "Wait, I want to take one more look at my room," I told them excitedly. I started up the stairs, taking them two at a time. "I'll be down in a second." "Hurry, dear. I'm sure Mr. Dawes has other appointments," Mom called after me. I reached the second floor landing and hurried down the narrow hallway into my new room. "Wow," I said out loud, and the word echoed faintly against the empty walls. It was so big, and I loved the bay window with the window seat. I walked over to it and peered out. Through the trees, I could see our car in the driveway, and beyond it, a house that looked a lot like ours across the street. "I'm going to put my bed against the wall across from the window," I thought happily, "and my desk can go over there. I'll have room for a computer now." I took one more look at my closet, a long walk-in closet with a light in the ceiling and wide shelves against the back wall. I was heading to the door, thinking about which of my posters I wanted to bring with me, when I saw a boy. He stood in the doorway just for a second, then turned and disappeared down the hall. "Josh?" I cried. "Hey, come look!" With a shock, I realized it wasn't Josh. For one thing, the boy had blonde hair. "Hey!" I called, and then ran to the hallway, stopping just outside my bedroom door, looking both ways. "Who's here?" But the long hall was empty. All the doors were closed. "Whoa, Amanda," I said aloud. Was I seeing things? Mom and Dad were calling from downstairs. I took one last look down the corridor, then hurried to rejoin them. "Hey, Mr. Dawes," I called as I ran down the stairs. "Is this house haunted?" He chuckled. The question seemed to strike him funny. "No, sorry," he said, looking at me with those crinkly blue eyes. "No ghost included. A lot of old houses around here are said to be haunted, but I'm afraid this isn't one of them." I thought I saw something," I said, feeling a little foolish. "Probably just shadows," Mom said. "With all the trees, this house is so dark." "Why don't you run outside and tell Josh about the house?" Dad suggested, tucking in the front of his shirt. "Your mom and I have some things to talk over with Mr. Dawes." "Yes, master," I said with a little bow, and obediently ran out to tell Josh all about what he had missed. "Hey, Josh," I called eagerly, searching the yard. "Josh?" My heart sank. Josh and Petey were gone. Chapter 2. "Josh! Josh!" First I called Josh, then I called Petey, but there was no sign of either of them. I ran down to the bottom of the driveway and peered in the car, but they weren't there. Mom and Dad were still inside talking to Mr. Dawes. I looked along the street in both directions, but there was no sign of them. "Josh! Hey, Josh!" Finally, Mom and Dad came hurrying out the front door, looking alarmed. I guess they heard my shouts. "I can't find Josh or Petey," I yelled to them from the street. "Maybe they're around back," Dad shouted to me. I headed up the driveway, kicking away dead leaves as I ran. It was sunny down the street, but as soon as I entered our yard, I was back in the shade, and it was immediately cool again. Hey, Josh, where are you? Why did I feel so scared? It was perfectly natural for Josh to wander off. He did it all the time. I ran full speed along the side of the house. Tall trees leaned over the house on this side, blocking out nearly all the sunlight. The backyard was bigger than I expected, a long rectangle that sloped gradually down to a wooden fence in the back. Just like the front, this yard was a mass of tall weeds, poking up through a thick covering of brown leaves. A stone birdbath had toppled on its side. Beyond it, I could see the side of the garage, a dark brick building that matched the house. Hey! Josh! He wasn't back here. I stopped and searched the ground for footprints, or a sign that he'd run through the thick leaves. Well? Out of breath, Dad came jogging up to me. No sign of him, I said, surprised at how worried I felt. Did you check the car? He sounded more angry than worried. Yes, it was the first place I looked. I gave the backyard a last quick search. I don't believe Josh would just take off. I do, Dad said, rolling his eyes. You know your brother when he doesn't get his way. Maybe he wants us to think he's run away from home. He frowned. Where is he? Mom asked as we returned to the front of the house. Dad and I both shrugged. Maybe he made a friend and wandered off, Dad said. He raised a hand and scratched his curly brown hair. I could tell that he was starting to worry, too. We've got to find him, Mom said, gazing down the street. He doesn't know this neighborhood at all. He probably wandered off and got lost. Mr. Dawes locked the front door and stepped off the porch, pocketing the keys. He couldn't have gotten far, he said, giving Mom a reassuring smile. Let's drive around the block. I'm sure we'll find him. Mom shook her head and glanced nervously at Dad. I'll kill him, she muttered. Dad patted her on the shoulder. Mr. Dawes opened the trunk of the small Honda, pulling off his dark blazer and tossed it inside. Then he took out a wide-brimmed black cowboy hat and put it on his head. Hey, that's quite a hat, Dad said, climbing into the front passenger seat. Keeps the sun away, Mr. Dawes said, sliding behind the wheel and slamming the car door. Mom and I got in back. Glancing over at her, I saw that Mom was as worried as I was. We headed down the block in silence, all four of us staring out the car windows. The houses we passed all seemed old. Most of them were even bigger than our house. All of them seemed to be in better condition, nicely painted with neat, well-trimmed lawns. I didn't see any people in the houses or yards, and there was no one on the street. It certainly is a quiet neighborhood, I thought, and shady. The houses all seemed to be surrounded by tall, leafy trees. The front yards we drove slowly past all seemed to be bathed in shade. The street was the only sunny place, a narrow gold ribbon that ran through the shadows on both sides. Maybe this is why they call it Dark Falls, I thought. Where is that son of mine? Dad asked, staring hard out the windshield. I'll kill him. I really will, Mom muttered. It wasn't the first time she said that about Josh. We had gone around the block twice. No sign of him. Mr. Dawes suggested we go around the next few blocks, and Dad quickly agreed. Hope I don't get lost. I'm new here too, Mr. Dawes said, turning a corner. There's the school, he announced, pointing out the window at the tall red brick building. It looked very old-fashioned, with white columns on both sides of the double front doors. Of course, it's closed now, Mr. Dawes added. My eyes searched the fenced-in playground behind the school. It was empty. No one there. I need a drink. Could Josh have walked this far? Mom asked, her voice tight and higher than usual. Josh doesn't walk, Dad said, rolling his eyes. He runs. We'll find him, Mr. Dawes said confidently, tapping his fingers on the wheel as he steered. He turned a corner onto another shady block. A street sign read, Cemetery Drive. And sure enough, a large cemetery rose up in front of us. Granite gravestones rolled along a low hill, which sloped down and then made it up into a large flat stretch, also marked with rows of low grave markers and monuments. A few shrubs dotted the cemetery, but there weren't many trees. As we drove slowly past, the gravestones passing by in a blur on the left, I realized that this was the sunniest spot I'd seen in the whole town. There's your son, Mr. Dawes. Pointing out the window, stopped the car suddenly. Oh, thank goodness, Mom exclaimed, leaning down to see out the window on my side of the car. Sure enough, there was Josh, running wildly along a crooked row of low white gravestones. "What's he doing here?" I asked, pushing open my car door. I stepped down from the car, took a few steps on the grass, and called at him. At first, he didn't react to my shouts. He seemed to be ducking and dodging through the tombstones. He would run in one direction, then cut to the side, then head in another direction. Why was he doing that? I took another few steps, and then stopped, gripped with fear. I realized why Josh was darting and ducking like that, running so wildly through the tombstone. He was being chased. Someone or something after him.
Chapter and the three.
Then, as I took a few reluctant steps toward Josh, watching him bend low, then change directions, his arms outstretched as he ran, I realized I had it completely backward. Josh wasn't being chased. Josh was chasing. He was chasing after Petey. Okay. So, sometimes my imagination runs away with me. Running through an old graveyard like this, even in bright daylight, it's only natural that a person might start to have weird thoughts. I called to Josh again, and this time he heard me and turned around. He looked worried. "Amanda, come help me," he cried. "Josh, what's the matter?" I ran as fast as I could to catch up with him, but he kept darting through the gravestones, moving from row to row. "Help! Josh, what's wrong?" I turned and saw that Mom and Dad were right behind me. "It's Petey," Josh explained out of breath. "I can't get him to stop. I caught him once, but he pulled away from me. Petey! Petey!" Dad started calling the dog, but Petey was moving from stone to stone, sniffing each one, then running to the next. "How'd you get all the way over here?" Dad asked. He caught up with my brother. "I had to follow Petey," Josh explained, still looking very worried. "He just took off. One second he was sniffing around the dead flower bed in their front yard, then the next second he just started to run. He wouldn't stop when I called. Wouldn't even look back. He kept running till he got here. I had to follow. I was afraid he'd get lost." Josh stopped and gratefully let my dad take over the chase. "I don't know what the dumb dog's problem is," he said to me. "He's just weird." It took a few tries, but he finally managed to grab Petey and pick him up off the ground. Our little terrier gave a half-hearted yelp of protest, then allowed himself to be carried away. We all trooped back to the car on the side of the road. Mr. Dawes was waiting by the car. "Maybe you'd better get a leash for that dog," he said, looking very concerned. "Petey's never been on a leash," Josh protested, warily climbing into the back seat. "Well, we might have to try one for a while," Dad said quietly. "Especially if he keeps running away," Dad tossed Petey in the back seat, the dog eagerly curled up in Josh's arms. The rest of us piled in the car, and Mr. Dawes drove us back to his office, a tiny, white, flat-roof building at the end of a row of small offices. As we rode, I reached over and stroked the back of Petey's head. Why did the dog run away like that? I wondered. Petey had never done that before. I guess that Petey was also upset about moving. After all, Petey had spent his whole life in our house. He probably felt a lot like Josh and I about having to pack up and move and never see our old neighborhood again. The new house, the new streets, all the new smells must have freaked the poor old dog out. Josh wanted to run away from the whole idea. And so did Petey. Anyway, that was my theory. Mr. Dawes parked his car in the front of his tiny office, shook Dad's hand, and gave him a business card. "You can come by next week," he told Mom and Dad. "I'll have all the legal work done by then. After you sign the papers, you can move in any time." He pushed open the car door, giving us all a final smile, prepared to climb out. "Compton Dawes," Mom said, reading the white business card over Dad's shoulder. "That's an unusual name. Is Compton an old family name?" Mr. Dawes shook his head. "No," he said. "I'm the only Compton in my family. I've no idea where that name comes from. No idea at all. Maybe my parents didn't know how to spell Charlie."
That's probably it, Compton.
Chuckling at his terrible joke, he climbed out of the car, lowered the wide black Stetson hat on his head, pulled his blazer from the trunk, and disappeared into the small white building. Dad climbed behind the wheel, moving the seat back to make room for his big stomach. Mom got up front, and we started the long drive home. "I guess you and Petey had quite an adventure today," Mom said to Josh, rolling up her window because Dad had turned on the air conditioner. "I guess," Josh said without enthusiasm. Petey was sound asleep in his lap, snoring quietly. Booze. "You're going to love your room," I told Josh. The whole house is great. Really? Josh stared at me thoughtfully, but didn't answer. I poked him in the ribs with my elbow. Say something. Did you hear what I said? But the weird, thoughtful look didn't fade from Josh's face. The next couple of weeks seemed to crawl by. I walked around the house thinking about how I'd never see my room again, how I'd never eat breakfast in this kitchen table again, how I'd never watch TV in the living room again. Morbid stuff like that. I had this sick feeling when the movers came one afternoon and delivered a tall stack of cartons. Time to pack up. It was really happening. Even though it was the middle of the afternoon, I went up to my room and flopped down on my bed. I didn't nap or anything. I just stared at the ceiling for more than an hour, and all these wild, unconnected thoughts ran through my head, like a dream, only I was awake. I wasn't the only one who was nervous about the move. Mom and Dad were snapping at each other over nothing at all. One morning, they had a big fight over whether the bacon was too crispy or not. In a way, I lost my place. In a way, it was funny to see them being so childish. Josh was acting really sullen at the time. He hardly spoke a word to anyone. And Petey sulked too. That dumb dog wouldn't even pick himself up and come over to me when I had some table scraps for him. I guess the hardest part about moving was saying goodbye to my friends. Carol and Amy were away at camp, so I had to write them. But Kathy was home, and she was my oldest and best friend, and that was the hardest to say goodbye to. I think some people were surprised that Kathy and I had stayed such good friends. For one thing, we look so different. I'm tall and thin and dark, but she's fair-skinned with long blonde hair and a little chubby, you fat cunt. But we've been friends since preschool, and best friends since fourth grade. When she came over the night before the move, we were both terribly awkward. Kathy, you shouldn't be nervous, I told her. You're not the one who's moving away forever. It's not like you're moving to China or anything, she answered, chewing hard on her bubblegum. Dark Falls. It's only 4 hours away, Amanda. We'll see each other a lot. Yeah, I guess, I said, but I didn't believe it. 4 hours away was as bad as being in China, as far as I was concerned. I guess we can still talk on the phone, I said glumly. She blew a small green bubble, then sucked it back into her mouth. Yeah, sure, she said, pretending to be enthusiastic. You're lucky, you know, moving out of this crummy neighborhood to a big house. It's not a crummy neighborhood, I insisted. I don't know why I was defending the neighborhood. I never had before. One of my favorite pastimes was thinking of places I'd rather grow up. School won't be the same without you, she sighed, curling her legs under her on the chair. Who's going to slip me the answers in math? I laughed. I always slipped you the wrong answers. But it was the thought that counted, Kathy said, and then she groaned. Ugh, junior high. Is your new junior high part of the high school or part of the elementary school? I made a disgusted face. Everything's in one building. It's a small town, remember? There's no separate high school. At least I didn't see one. Bummer, she said. Bummer was right. We chatted for hours until Kathy's mom called and said it was time for her to come home. Then we hugged. I made up my mind that I wouldn't cry, but I could feel the big, hot tears forming in the corner of my eyes, and then they were running down my cheeks. God damn it! I'm so miserable, I wailed. I had planned to be really controlled and mature, but Kathy was my best friend. After all, what could I do? We made a promise that we'd always be together on our birthdays, no matter what. We forced our parents to make sure we didn't miss each other's birthdays. And then we hugged again, and Kathy said, "Don't worry, we'll see each other a lot, really." And she had tears in her eyes, too. She turned and ran out the door. The screen door slammed behind her. I stood there staring out into the darkness until Petey came scampering in, his toenails clicking across the linoleum, and started to lick my hand. The next morning, moving day, was a rainy Saturday. Not a downpour, no thunder or lightning, but just enough rain and wind to make the long drive slow and unpleasant. The sky seemed to get darker near the new neighborhood. The heavy trees bent low over the street. "Slow down, Jack," Mom warned shrilly. "The street is really slick." But Dad was in a hurry to get to the house before the moving van did. They'll just put this stuff anywhere if we're not there to supervise, he explained. Josh, beside me in the back seat, was being a real pain, as usual. He kept complaining that he was thirsty. When that didn't get results, he started whining that he was starving. But we had all had a big breakfast, so that didn't get any reaction either. He just wanted attention, of course. I kept trying to cheer him up by telling him how great the house was inside and how big his room was. He still hadn't seen it. But he didn't want to be cheered up. He started wrestling with Petey, getting the poor dog all worked up until Dad had to shout at him to stop. Let's all try really hard and not get on each other's nerves, Mom suggested. Dad laughed. Good idea, dear. Don't make fun of me, she snapped. They started to argue about who was more exhausted from all the packing. Petey stood up in his hind legs and started to howl at the back window. Can you shut him up? Mom screamed. I pulled Petey down, but he struggled back up and started howling again. He's never done this before, I said. Just get him quiet, Mom insisted. I pulled Petey down by his hind legs. Wait up, there's something outside. While reading Goosebumps, this is spooky. Let me check. Hey, I'm back. Turns out it was absolutely nothing, but maybe I live in Dead House or Dead Studio Apartment. Anyway, I pulled Petey down by his hind legs, and Josh started to howl. Mom turned around and gave him a dirty look. Josh didn't stop howling, though. He thought he was a riot. Finally, Dad pulled the car up the driveway of the new house. The tires crunched over the wet gravel. Rain poured on the roof. Home sweet home, Mom said. I couldn't tell if she was being sarcastic or not. I think she was really glad the long car ride was over. At least we beat the movers, Dad said, glancing at his watch. Then his expression changed. Hope they're not lost. It's as dark as night out there, Josh complained. Petey was jumping up and down on my lap, desperate to get out of the car. He was usually a good traveler, but once the car stopped, he wanted out immediately. I opened my car door and he leaped onto the driveway with a splash and started to run in a wild zigzag across the front yard. At least someone's glad to be here, Josh said quietly. Dad ran up to the porch and, fumbling with the unfamiliar keys, managed to get the front door open. Then he motioned for us to come into the house. Mom and Josh ran across the walk, eager to get in out of the rain. I closed the car door behind me and started to jog after them, but something caught my eye. I stopped and looked up at the twin bay windows above the porch. I held my hand over my eyebrows to shield my eyes and squinted through the rain. Yes, I saw it. A face. In the window on the left, the boy, the same boy, was up there, staring down at me.
Chapter 4. Chapter 4.
Wipe your feet. Don't track mud on the nice, clean floors, Mom called. Her voice echoed against the bare walls of the empty living room. I stepped into the hallway. The house smelled of paint. The painters had just finished on Thursday. It was hot inside the house, much hotter than outside. The kitchen light won't go on, Dad called from the back. Did the painters turn off the electricity or something? How should I know? Mom shouted back. Their voices sounded so loud in the big empty house. Mom, there's someone upstairs, I cried, wiping my feet on the welcome mat and hurrying into the living room. She was at the window, staring at the rain. Looking for the movers, probably. She spun around as I came in. What? There's a boy upstairs. I saw him in the window, I said, struggling to catch my breath. Josh entered the room from the back hallway. He'd probably been with Dad. He laughed. Is someone already living here? There's no one upstairs, Mom said, rolling her eyes. Are you two going to give me a break today or what? What did I do? Josh whined. Listen, Amanda, we're all a little on edge today, Mom started. But I interrupted her. I saw his face, Mom, in the window. I'm not crazy, you know? Says who? Josh cracked. Amanda! Mom bit her lower lip, the way she always did when she was really exasperated. You saw a reflection of something, of a tree, probably. She turned back to the window. The rain was coming down in sheets now, the wind driving it noisily against the large picture window. I ran to the stairway, cut my hands over my mouth, and shouted up to the second floor. Who's up there? No answer. Who's up there? I called a little louder. Mom had her hands over her ears. Amanda, please. Josh had disappeared through the dining room. He was finally exploring the house. "There's someone up there," I insisted, and impulsively, I started up the wooden stairway, my sneakers thudding loudly on the bare steps. "Amanda," I heard my mom calling after me, but I was too angry to stop. Why didn't she believe me? Why did she have to say it was a reflection of a tree I saw up there? I was curious. I had to know who was upstairs. I had to prove my mom wrong. I had to show her I hadn't seen a stupid reflection. I guess I can be pretty stubborn, too. Maybe it's my family trait. The stairs squeaked and crawled under my goddammit. The stairs squeaked and creaked under me as I climbed. I didn't feel at all scared until I reached the second floor landing. Then I suddenly had this heavy feeling in the pit of my stomach. I stopped, breathing hard, leaning on the banister. Who could it be? A burglar? A bored neighbor kid who had broken into an empty house for a thrill? Maybe I shouldn't be up here alone, I realized. Maybe the boy in the window was dangerous. Anyone up here? I called, my voice suddenly trembly and weak. Still leaning against the banister, I listened, and I could hear footsteps scampering across the hallway. No! Not footsteps, the rain. That's what it was. The patter of rain against the slate shingled roof. For some reason, the sound made me feel a little calmer. I let go of the banister and stepped into the long, narrow hallway. It was dark up here, except for a rectangle of gray light from a small window at the other end. I took a few steps, the old wooden floorboards creaking noisily beneath me. Anybody up here? Again, no answer. I stepped to the first doorway on my left. The door was closed. The smell of fresh paint was suffocating. There was a light switch on the wall near the door. Maybe it was the hall light, I thought. I clicked it on, but nothing happened. Anybody here? My hand was trembling as I grabbed the doorknob. It felt warm in my hand and damp. I turned it and, taking a deep breath, pushed open the door. I peered in the room. Gray light filtered in through the bay window. A flash of lightning made me jump back. The thunder that followed was dull, distant roar. Slowly, carefully, I took a step into the room. Then another. No sign of anyone. This was a guest bedroom. Or could it be Josh's room if he decided he liked it? Another flash of lightning. The sky seemed to be darkening. It was pitch black out there, even though it was just after lunchtime. I backed into the hall. The next room down was going to be mine. It also had a bay window that looked down in the front yard. Was the boy I saw staring down at me in my own room? I crept down the hall, letting my hand run along the wall for some reason, and stopped outside my door, which was also closed. Taking a deep breath, I knocked on the door. Who's in there? I called. I listened. Silence. Then a clap of thunder, closer than the last. I froze, as if I were paralyzed, holding my breath. It was so hot up here, hot and damp, and the smell of paint was making me dizzy. I grabbed the doorknob. Anybody in there? I started to turn the knob, when the boy crept up from behind and grabbed my shoulder. Wow. Chapter 5! I couldn't breathe. I couldn't cry out. My heart seemed to stop. My chest felt as if it were about to explode. With desperate, terrified effort, I spun around. Josh! I shrieked. You scared me to death, I thought. He let go of me and took a step back. Gotcha, he declared, and then started to laugh. A high-pitched laugh that echoed down the long, bare hallway. My heart was pounding hard now. My forehead throbbed. You're not funny, I said angrily and shoved him against the wall. You really scared me. He laughed and I rolled around on the floor. He's really a sicko. I tried to shove him, but missed. Angrily, I turned away from him, just in time to see my bedroom door swing slowly open. I gasped in disbelief and froze, gaping at my moving door. Josh stopped laughing and stood up, immediately serious, his dark eyes wide with fright. I could hear someone moving inside the room. I could hear whispering, excited giggles. Who's there? I managed to stammer in a high little voice I didn't recognize. The door, creaking loudly, opened a bit more, then started to close. Who's there? I demanded a bit more forcefully. Again, I could hear whispering, someone moving about. Josh had backed up against the wall and was edging away toward the stairs. He had an expression on his face I'd never seen before. Sheer terror. The door, creaking like a door in a movie haunted house, closed a little. Josh was nearly to the stairway. He was staring at me, violently motioning with fucking goddamn it. The door, creaking like a door in a movie haunted house, closed a little more. Josh was nearly to the stairway. He was staring at me, violently motioning with his hand for me to follow. But instead, I stepped forward, grabbed the doorknob, and pushed the door open hard. It didn't resist. I let go of the doorknob and stood blocking the doorway. Who's there? The room was empty. Thunder crashed. It took me a few seconds to realize what was making the door move. The window on the opposite wall had been left open several inches. The gusting wind through the open window must have been opening and closing the door. I guess that also explained the other sounds I heard inside the room. The sounds I thought were whispers. Who would have left the window open? The painters, probably. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly, waiting for my pounding heart to settle down to normal. Feeling a little foolish, I walked quickly to the window and pushed it shut. "Amanda, are you all right?" Josh whispered from the hallway. I started to answer him, but then I had a better idea. He had practically scared me to death a few minutes before. Why not give him a little scare? He deserved it. So I didn't answer him. I could hear him take a few timid steps closer to my room. Amanda, you okay? I tiptoed over to my closet, pulled the door open a third of the way, then I laid down flat on the floor, on my back, with my head and shoulders hidden inside the closet, and the rest of me in the room. "Amanda," Josh sounded very scared. "Oh." I moaned loudly. I knew he had saw me sprawled on the floor like this. He'd totally freak out. "Amanda, what's happening?" He was in the doorway now. He'd see me in a second now, lying in the dark room, my head hidden from view. The lightning flashing impressively, and the thunder cracking outside the old window. I took a deep breath and held it to keep from giggling. "Amanda," he whispered. Then he must have seen me, because he uttered out loud, "Huh?" And I heard him gasp. And then he screamed at the top of his lungs. I heard him running down the hall to the stairway, shrieking, "Mom! Dad!" And I heard his sneakers thudding down the wooden stairs, with him screaming and calling all the way down. I snickered to myself. Then, before I could pull myself up, I felt a rough, warm tongue licking my face. "Petey!" He was licking my cheeks, licking my eyelids, licking me frantically, as if he was trying to revive me, or as if to let me know that everything was okay. "Oh, Petey, Petey!" I cried, laughing and throwing my arms around the sweet dog. "Stop, you're getting me all sticky!" But he wouldn't stop. He kept on licking fiercely. The poor dog is nervous too, I thought. "Come on, Petey, shape up," I told him, holding his panting face away with both my hands. "There's nothing to be nervous about. This new place is going to be fun. You'll see." Chapter 6. That night, I was smiling to myself as I fluffed up my pillow and slid it into bed. I was thinking about how terrified Josh had been that afternoon, how frightening he looked even after I came prancing down the stairs perfectly okay, how angry he was that I had fooled him. Of course, Mom and Dad didn't think it was funny. They were both nervous and upset because the moving van had just arrived an hour late. They forced Josh and me to call a truce, no more scaring each other. "It's hard not to get scared in this creepy old place," Josh muttered. But we reluctantly agreed not to play any more jokes on each other, if we could possibly help it. The men, complaining about the rain, started carrying in all of our furniture. Josh and I helped show them where we wanted stuff in our rooms. They dropped my dresser on the stairs, but only got a small scratch. The furniture looks strange and small in this big house. Josh and I tried to stay out of the way while Mom and Dad worked all day, arranging things, emptying cartons, putting clothes away. Mom even managed to get the curtains hung up in my room. What a day! Now, a little after 10 o'clock, trying to get to sleep for the first time in my new room, I turned to my side, then on my back. Even though this was my old bed, I couldn't get comfortable. Everything seemed so different, so wrong. The bed didn't face the same direction as my old room. The walls were bare. I hadn't had time to hang any of my posters. The room seemed so large and empty. The shadows seemed so much darker. My back started to itch, and then suddenly I felt itchy all over. The bed is filled with bugs, I thought, sitting up. But of course, that was ridiculous. It was the same old bed with clean sheets. I forced myself to settle back down and close my eyes. Sometimes, when I can't sleep, I count silently by twos, picturing each number on my mind as I think of it. It usually helps to clear my mind, so that I can drift off to sleep. I tried it now, burying my face in the pillow, picturing the numbers rolling past. 4, 6, 8. I yawned loudly, still wide awake at 20. I'm going to... Oh, wait, she said 220. I apologize. That's a much bigger number. I thought she was just kind of giving up pretty quickly. I'm going to be awake forever, I thought. I'm never going to be able to sleep in this new room. But then I must have drifted off without even realizing it. I don't know how long I slept. An hour or two at most. It was a light, uncomfortable sleep. Then something woke me. I sat up, startled. Despite the heat of the room, I felt cold all over. Looking down to the end of the bed, I saw that I had kicked off the sheet and light blanket. With a groan, I reached down for them, but then I froze. I heard whispers. Someone was whispering across the room. Who's there? My voice was a whisper, too. Tiny and frightened, I grabbed my covers and then pulled them up to my chin. I heard more whispers. The room came into focus as my eyes adjusted to the dim light. The curtains, the long, sheer curtains from my old room that my mother had hung the afternoon, were fluttering at the window. So, that explained the whispers. The billowing curtains must have woken me up. A soft, gray light floated in from outside. The curtains cast moving shadows onto the floor of my bed. Yawning, I stretched and climbed out of bed. I felt chilled all over as I crept across the wooden floor to close the window. As soon as I came near, the curtain stopped billowing and floated back into place. I pushed them aside and reached to close the window. Oh! I uttered a soft cry, and I realized that the window was closed. But how could the curtains flutter like that with the window closed? I stood there for a while, staring out at the grays of light. There wasn't much of a draft. The window seemed pretty airtight. Had I imagined the curtains billowing? Were my eyes playing tricks on me? Yawning, I hurried back through the strange shadows to my bed and pulled the covers as high as they would go. Amanda, stop scaring yourself, I scolded. When I fell back to sleep a few minutes later, I had the ugliest, most terrifying dream. I dreamed that we were all dead. Mom, Dad, Josh, and me. At first, I saw us sitting around the dinner table in the new dining room. The room was very bright, so bright I couldn't see our faces very well. They were just a bright white blur. But then, slowly, slowly, everything came into focus, and I could see that beneath our hair, we had no faces. Our skin was gone, and only our gray-green skulls were left. Bits of flesh clung to my cheekbones. There were only deep black sockets where our eyes had been. The four of us, all dead, sat eating in silence. Our dinner plates, I saw, were filled with small bones. A big platter in the center of the table was piled high with gray-green bones. Human-looking bones. And then, in this dream, our disgusting meal was interrupted by a loud knocking on the door. An instant pounding that grew louder and louder. It was Kathy, my friend from back home. I could see her at her front door, pounding on it with both fists. I wanted to go and answer the door. I wanted to run from the dining room and pull the door and greet Kathy. I wanted to talk to Kathy. I wanted to tell her what had happened to me, to explain that I was dead and that my face had fallen away. I wanted to see Kathy so badly. But I couldn't get up from the table. I tried and tried, but I couldn't get up. The pounding on the door grew louder and louder until it was deafening, but I just sat there with my gruesome family, picking up bones from my dinner plate and eating them. I woke up with a start. The horror of the dream was still inside me. I could still hear the pounding in my ears. I shook my head, trying to chase the dream away. It was morning. I could tell from the blue of the sky outside the window. Oh, no, the curtains. They were billowing again, flapping noisily as they blew into the room. I sat up and stared. The window was still closed. Chapter 7. I'll take a look at that window. There must be a draft or a leak or something. Dad said at breakfast. He shoveled in another mouthful of scrambled eggs and ham. But Dad, it's so weird, I insisted, still feeling a little scared. The curtains were blowing like crazy and the window was closed. There might be a pane missing, Dad suggested. Amanda's a pane, Josh cracked, his idea of a really witty joke. Don't start with your sister, Mom said, putting her plate down on the table and dropping into her chair. She looked tired. Her black hair, usually carefully pulled back, was disheveled. She tugged at the belt on her bathrobe. Phew. I don't think I slept 2 hours last night. Neither did I said, sighing. I kept thinking that boy would show up in my room. Amanda, you've really got to stop this, Mom said sharply. Boys in your room, curtains blowing. You have to realize that you're nervous, and your imagination is working overtime. But Mom, I started. Maybe a ghost was behind the curtains, Josh said, teasing. He raised up his hands and made a ghostly wail. Whoa, Mom put a hand on Josh's shoulder. Remember what you promised about scaring each other? It's going to be hard for all of us to adjust to this into place, Dad said. You may have dreamed about the curtains blowing, Amanda. You said you had bad dreams, right? The terrifying nightmare flashed back in my mind. Once again, I saw the big platter of bones on the table. I shivered. It's so damp in here, Mom said. A little sunshine will help dry the place out, Dad said. I peered out the window. The sky had turned solid gray. Trees seemed to spread darkness over our backyard. Where's Petey? I asked. Out back, Mom replied, swallowing a mouthful of eggs. He got up early, too. Couldn't sleep, I guess, so I let him out. What are we going to do today? Josh asked. He always needed to know the plan for the day, every detail, mainly so he could argue about it. Your father and I still have a lot of unpacking to do, Mom said, glancing to the back hallway, which was cluttered with unopened cartons. You two can explore the neighborhood. See what you can find. See if there are any other kids your age around. In other words, you want us to get lost, I said. Mom and Dad both laughed. You're very smart, Amanda. But I want you to help unpack my stuff, Josh whined. I knew he'd argue with a plan, just like always. Go get dressed and take a long walk, Dad said. Take Petey with you, okay? And take the leash for him. I left one by the front stairs. What about bikes? Why can't we take our bikes, Josh asked. They're buried in the back of the garage, Dad told him. You'll never be able to get them. Besides, you have a flat tire. If I can't ride my bike, I'm not going out, Josh insisted, crossing his arms in front of his chest. Mom and Dad had to argue with him. They threatened him. Finally, he agreed to go for a short walk. I finished my breakfast, thinking about Kathy and my friends back home. I wondered what the kids were like in Dark falls. I wondered if I'd be able to find new friends, real friends. I volunteered to do the breakfast dishes since Mom and Dad had so much work to do. The warm water felt soothing on my hands as I sponged the dishes clean. I guess maybe I'm weird. I like washing dishes. Behind me, from somewhere in the front of the house, I could hear Josh arguing with Dad. I could just barely make out the words over the trickle of the tap water. Your basketball is packed in one of the cartons, Dad was saying. Then Josh said something. Then Dad said, how should I know which one? Then Josh said something. Then Dad said, no, I don't have time to look now. Believe it or not, your basketball isn't at the top of my list. I stacked the last dishes on the counter to drain. I looked for a dish towel to dry my hands. There was none in sight. I guess they hadn't been unpacked yet. Wiping off my hands on the front of my robe, I headed for the stairs. I'll be dressed in 5 minutes, I called to Josh, who was still arguing with Dad in the living room. Then we can go out. I started up the front stairs and then stopped. Above me in the landing stood a strange girl, about my age, with short black hair. She was smiling down at me. Not a warm smile, not a friendly smile, but the coldest, most frightening smile I had ever seen. I believe in a chapter 8. Zip it, by the way. Oh. A hand touched my shoulder. I spun around. It was Josh. I'm not going for a walk around unless I can take my basketball, he said.
Wait, didn't the last chapter or one chapter start with Josh? Oh, fuck it, it doesn't matter.
Josh, please. I looked back up to the landing, and the girl was gone. I felt cold all over. My legs were all trembly. I grabbed the banister. Dad, come here, please, I called. Josh's face filled with alarm. Hey, I didn't do anything, he shouted. No, it's not you, I said, and called back to Dad. Amanda, I'm kind of busy, Dad said, appearing below at the foot of the stairs, already perspiring from uncrating the living room stuff. Dad, I saw somebody, I told him. Up there, a girl. I pointed. Amanda, please, he replied, making a face. Stop seeing things, okay? There's no one in this house except the four of us, and maybe a few mice. Mice? Josh asked with sudden interest. Really? Where? Dad, I didn't imagine it, I said, my voice cracking. I was really hurt that he didn't believe me. Amanda, look up there, Dad said, gazing up to the landing. What do you see? I followed his gaze. There's a pile of my clothes in the landing. Mom must have just unpacked them. It's just clothes, Dad said impatiently. It's not a girl. It's clothes. He rolled his eyes. Sorry, I said quietly, repeating as I started up the stairs. Sorry. But I didn't feel sorry. I felt confused and still scared. Was it possible that I thought a pile of clothes was a smiling girl? No, I didn't think so. I'm not crazy, and I have really good eyesight. Then what's going on? I opened the door to my room, turned on the ceiling light, and saw the curtains billowing in front of the bay window. Oh no, not again, I thought. I hurried to them. This time the window was open. Who opened it? Mom, I guess. Warm, wet air blew into the room. The sky was heavy and gray. It smelled like rain. Turning to my bed, I had another shock. Someone laid out an outfit for me. A pair of faded jeans and a pale blue sleeveless t-shirt. They were spread out side by side at the foot of my bed. Who put them there, Mom? I stood at the doorway and called to her. Mom? Mom? Did you pick out clothes for me? I could hear her shouting something from downstairs, but couldn't make out the words. Calm down, Amanda, I told myself. Calm down. Of course Mom pulled the clothes out. Of course Mom put them there. From the doorway, I heard whispering in my closet. Whispering and hushed giggling behind the closet door. This was the last straw. What's going on here? I yelled at the top of my lungs and stormed over the closet and pulled open the door. Frantically, I pushed clothes out of the way. No one was there. Mice? I thought. Had I heard mice that Dad was talking about? I've got to get out of here, I said aloud. The room, I realized, was driving me crazy. No, I was driving myself crazy. Imagining all these weird things, there was a logical explanation for everything. Everything! As I pulled up my jeans and fastened them, I said the word logical over and over in my mind. I said it so many times that it didn't sound like a real word anymore. Calm down, Amanda. Calm down. I took a deep breath and held it to 10. Boo! Josh cut it out. You didn't scare me, I told him, sounding more cross than I meant to. Let's get out of here, he said, staring at me from the doorway. This place gives me the creeps, huh? You too? What's your problem? He started to say something, then stopped. He suddenly looked embarrassed. Forget it, he muttered. No, tell me, I insist. What were you going to say? He kicked at the floor molding. I had a really creepy dream last night, he finally admitted, looking past me to fluttering curtains in the window. A dream? I remembered my horrible dream. Yeah, there were these two boys in my room, and they were mean. What did they do? I asked Josh. I don't remember, Josh said, avoiding my eyes. I just remember that they were scary. And what happened? I turned to the mirror to brush my hair. I woke up, he said, and then added impatiently, come on, let's go. Did the boys say anything to you? I asked. No, I don't think so, he answered thoughtfully. They just laughed. Well, giggled, sort of. I don't want to talk about it anymore, he snapped. Are we going to go for this dumb walk or not? Okay, I'm ready, I said, putting down my brush, taking one last look in the mirror. Let's go for this dumb walk. I followed him down the hall. As we packed the stack of clothes on the landing, I thought about the girl I had seen standing there, and I thought about the boy in the window when we first arrived, and the two boys Josh had seen in his dream. I decided it proved that Josh and I were both really nervous about moving to this place. Maybe Mom and Dad were right. We were letting our imaginations run away with us. It had to be our imaginations. I mean, what else could it be?
Chapter 9.
A few seconds later, we stepped into the backyard to get Petey. He was as glad to see us as ever, leaping on us with his muddy paws, yapping excitedly, running in frantic circles through the leaves. It cheered me up just to see him. It was hot and muggy, even though the sky was gray. There was no wind at all. The heavy old trees stood as still as statues. We headed down the gravel driveway toward the street, our sneakers kicking at the dead brown leaves. Petey running in zigzags at our sides, first in front of us, then behind. At least Dad hasn't asked us to rake all these old leaves, Josh said. He will, I warned. I don't think he's unpacked the rake yet. Josh made a face. We stood at the curb, looking up at our house. The two second-floor bay windows staring back at us like eyes. The house next door, I noticed for the first time, was about the same size as ours, except it was shingle instead of brick. The curtains in the living room were drawn shut. Some of the upstairs windows were shuttered. Tall trees cast the neighbor's house into darkness, too. "Which way?" Josh asked, tossing a stick for Petey to chase. I pointed up the street. "The school's up that way. Let's check it out." The road sloped uphill, and Josh picked up a small tree branch from the side of the road and used it as a walking stick. Petey kept trying to chew on it while Josh walked. We didn't see anyone on the streets or anyone in the front yards we passed by. No cars went by. I was beginning to think the whole town was deserted until the boy stepped out from behind the low hedge. He popped out so suddenly, both Josh and I stopped in our tracks. "Hi," he said shyly, giving us a little wave. "Hi," Josh and I answered at the same time. Then, before we could pull him back, Petey ran up to the boy, sniffed his sneakers, and began snarling and barking. The boy stepped back and raised his hands as if he were protecting himself. He looked really frightened. "Petey, stop," I cried. Josh grabbed the dog and picked him up, but he kept growling. He doesn't bite," I told the boy. "He usually doesn't bark either. I'm sorry." "That's okay," the boy said, staring at Petey, who was squirming to get out of Josh's arms. "He probably smells something on me." "Petey, stop," I shouted. The dog wouldn't stop squirming. "You don't want the leash, do you?" The boy had short, wavy blonde hair and a very pale blue pair of eyes. He had a funny turned-up nose that seemed out of place on his serious-looking face. He was wearing a maroon, long-sleeved sweatshirt, despite the mugginess of the day, and a black straight-leg jeans. He had blue baseball cap stuffed into the back pocket of his jeans. "I'm Amanda Benson," I said, "and this is my brother, Josh." Josh hesitantly put Petey back on the ground. The dog yipped once, stared up at the boy, whimpered softly, then sat down on the street and began to scratch himself. "I'm Ray Thurston," the boy said, stuffing his hands into his jeans pockets, staring warily at Petey. He seemed to relax a little, though, seeing that dog had lost interest in barking and growling at him. I suddenly realized that Ray looked familiar. Where had I seen him before? Where? I stared at him until I remembered, and then I gasped in sudden fright. Ray was the boy in my room, the boy in the window. "You," I stammered accusingly, "you were in the house." He looked confused. "Huh? You were in my room, right?" I insisted. He laughed. "I don't get it," he said. "In your room?" Petey raised his head and gave a low growl in Ray's direction. Then he went back to his serious scratching. "I thought I saw you," I said, beginning to feel a little doubtful. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe. "I haven't been in your house in a long time," Ray said, looking down warily at Petey. "A long time?" "Yeah, I used to live in your house," he replied. "Huh?" Josh and I stared at him in surprise. "Our house?" Ray nodded. "When we first moved here," he said. He picked up a flat pebble and heaved it down the street. Petey growled, started to chase it, changed his mind, and plopped back down the street, his stub of a tail wagging excitedly. Heavy clouds lowered across the sky. It seemed to grow darker. "Where do you live now?" I asked. Ray tossed another stone, then pointed up the road. Do you like our house?" Josh asked Ray. "Yeah, it was okay," Ray told him. "Nice and shady." "You liked it?" Josh cried. "I think it's gross. I think it's so dark and..." Petey interrupted. He decided to start barking at Ray again, running up until he was a few inches in front of Ray, then backing away. Ray took a few cautious steps back to the edge of the curb. Josh pulled out the leash from his pockets of his shorts. "Sorry, Petey," he said. I held the growling dog while Josh attached the leash to his collar. He's never done this before. Really? I said, apologizing to Ray. The leash seemed to confuse Petey. He tugged against it, pulling Josh across the street, but at least he stopped barking. Let's do something, Josh said impatiently. Like what? Ray asked, relaxing again now that Petey was on the leash. We all thought for a while. Maybe we could go to your house, Josh suggested to Ray. Ray shook his head. Nah, I don't think so, he said. Not now, anyway. Where is everybody? I asked, looking up and down the empty street. It's really dead around here, huh? He chuckled. Yeah, I guess you could say that, he said. Want to go to the playground behind the school? Yeah, all right. I agreed. The three of us headed up the street, Ray leading the way, me walking a few feet behind him, Josh holding his tree branch in one hand, the leash in other, Petey running this way, then that, giving Josh a real hard time. We didn't see the gang of kids till we turned the corner. There were 10 or 12 of them, mostly boys, but a few girls too. They were laughing and shouting, shoving each other playfully as they came toward us down the center of the street. Some of them, I saw, were my age. The rest were teenagers. They were wearing jeans and dark t-shirts. One of the girls stood out because she had long, straight blonde hair and was wearing green spandex tights. Hey, look! A tall boy with slicked back black hair cried, pointing at us. Seeing Ray, Josh, and me, they grew quiet, but didn't stop moving toward us. A few of them giggled, as if they were enjoying some kind of private joke. The three of us stopped and watched them approach. I smiled and waited to say hi. Petey was pulling at his leash and barking his head off. Hi, guys, the tall boy with the black hair said, grinning. The others thought that this was funny for some reason. They laughed. The girl in the green tights gave a short, red-haired boy a shove that almost sent him sprawling into me. How's it going, Ray? A girl with short black hair asked, smiling at Ray. Not bad. Hi, guys, Ray answered. He turned to Josh and me. These are some of my friends. They're all from the neighborhood. Hi, I said, feeling awkward. I wish Petey would stop barking and pulling at his leash like that. Poor Josh was having a terrible time holding on to him. This is George Carpenter, Ray said, pointing at the short, red-haired boy who nodded, and Jerry Franklin, Carrie Somerset, Bill Gregory. He went around the circle naming each kid. I tried to remember all the names, but of course it was impossible. How do you like Dark Falls? One of the girls asked me. I don't really know, I told her. It's my first day here, really. It seems nice. Some of the kids laughed at my answer for some reason. What kind of dog is that? George Carpenter asked Josh. Josh, holding tight to the leash handle, told him. George stared hard at Karen Somerset. Fuck. No, he didn't. He stared hard at Petey, studying him, as if he had never seen a dog like Petey before. Karen Somerset, a tall, pretty girl with short blonde hair, came up to me while some of the other kids were admiring Petey. You know, I used to live in your house, she said softly. What? I wasn't sure I'd heard her correctly. Let's go to the playground, Ray said, interrupting. No one responded to Ray's suggestion. They grew quiet. Even Petey stopped barking. Had Karen really said that she lived in our house? I wanted to ask her, but she had stepped back into the circle of kids. The circle. My mouth dropped open as I realized they had formed a circle around Josh and me. I felt a stab of fear. Was I imagining it? Was something going on? They all suddenly looked different to me. They were smiling, but their faces were tense, watchful, as if they were expecting trouble. Two of them, I noticed, were carrying baseball bats. The girl with the green tights stared at me, looking me up and down, checking me out. No one said a word. The street was silent except for Petey, who was now whimpering softly. I suddenly felt very afraid. Why were they staring at us like that? Or was my imagination running away with me again? I turned to Ray, who was still beside me. He didn't seem at all troubled, but he didn't return my gaze. Hey, guys, I said. What's going on? I tried to keep it light, but my voice was a little shaky. I looked over at Josh. He was busy soothing Petey. I hadn't noticed that things had changed. The two boys with baseball bats held them waist high and moved forward. I glanced around the circle, feeling the fear tighten in my chest. The circle tightened. The kids were closing in on us. Oh, man. Those kids. Anyway, this concludes, part one of Welcome to Dead House, which is, episode one of Dune Reads Goosebumps, the podcast. Tune in for part two. It should be up. That was spooky.